Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, January 30th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in Bill's story on page 16. We're reading that last part of Bill's story. We're going to start with the second full paragraph, beginning with, "There is, however, a vast amount of fun," ending with, "Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971. We are reading and commenting on those three paragraphs this morning. Today's readers are Diane M.C. reading the 12 steps, Janice P.M. reading the 12 traditions, Kathy M. will be reading the text, Vanessa G. is reading page 164, and Janice P.M. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, January 29th, 2026, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,168. That's 23168. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,170 or 23170. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Diane M.C. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. And hello, precious Vision family. This is Diane M.C. of Chicagoland and a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps of OA 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you so much, Diane M.C. I will now ask Janice P.M. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Janice.
And good morning again to you and to everyone that's here. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, unity. I'm just going to give you the principle. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, and that's a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain ever, forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communications. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principle before personalities. And I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Janice P.M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no... This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in Bill's story, that last page there, page 16. We're going to start with the second full paragraph, beginning with, "There is, however, a vast amount of fun," through three paragraphs, ending with, "Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971. And we're going to read and comment on those three paragraphs this morning. And I will now ask Kathy M. to please begin reading. Hey, Kathy, morning.
Good morning. This is Kathy. I'm in Michigan. I hope there's not a terrible amount of background noise. I'm on a train. I'm recovered compulsive overeater. Here is the reading. "There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at the seeming worldliness and levity. But just underneath, there is deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. Most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here and now. Each day, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971. I just wanted to share what I got in that paragraph. It's, first of all, amazing. It's joyful and fun to meet fellows who share this this disease with me. It gives me a feeling of being in a group rather than being the only one who suffers. And the other thing that I think is really special about this paragraph is that we need look no further for utopia. Utopia is that, you know, perfect place, right? So many newcomers might not understand what this is referring to. In my mind, it refers to the freedom from the compulsion. I don't have that craving anymore. I'm free to live my life. I effortlessly abstain from my addictive ingredients. And I'm able to enjoy and function in life and feel my feelings and get through hard times. That utopia phrase does not mean that our life is utopia. It means that we have found a new freedom and a new peace in this program. And I think that to me that the neutrality that I have now. And I've been recovered for several years now and joyfully abstinent and just really love this program. So with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kathy. And what a great way to get us started. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. We also ask that you please keep your share to 3 minutes. This allows time for as many people as possible to share. I will remind you when your time is up. If you would like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Susan G.
I've got you, Susan.
Diane
Ron.
I
in Colorado.
I heard Diane. Was that Diane B?
MC.
MC. And where are you calling from, Diane?
Chicago.
Chicago. That's right. Okay.
Hiya P.
Brianna
in Colorado.
H.
I've got Hiya P. from Colorado.
Freya H.
I've got Freya H. And Freya, please remind me, where are you from? Calling from? Oh, Freya, where are you calling from? Okay, well, we'll get that when it's your time.
Roz G.
Eileen
M.
Judy M. France.
I've got Eileen M. I've got Judy. France.
Vanessa G, New Mexico.
I've got you, Vanessa. Okay, anyone else want to jump on this one? We've got quite a list going.
Janice PM.
Oh. Janice PM. From Massachusetts, right, Janice?
You got it. You got it. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Danielle P. in Colorado.
Danielle. That's a P or a T?
T as in Tom.
T as in Tom. Okay. All right. Well, let me go through this list to make sure I've got everyone. I've got Susan G., Diane M.C., Hiya P., Freya H., Roz G., Eileen M., I've got Judy P., Vanessa G., Janice PM, and Danielle T. All right. We're going to go ahead and get started with Susan G, followed by Diane MC. Hey there, Susan.
Good morning again, Stephanie. Good job. That was quite the list. I'm so excited you heard me first. Good morning, everyone. Susan, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Team Friday, for the month of January, for your service. There is a vast amount of fun. I never came here to have any fun, and yet I do. As the result of working these steps, practicing these principles in my affairs, I have so much love and joy and laughter, most importantly, laughter in my life that I'm not saying I was 100% miserable before, but I didn't have the freedom. There was always something holding me back. When am I going to get that next fix? And today, taking God with me everywhere that I go, my life is very, very different. And I just actually looked up the meaning of utopia. I don't normally do that. And it says an imagined place or state of things of which in which everything is perfect. And what is perfect, I don't know. But my life today is, for me, very, very perfect. I have the life that I am supposed to leave. And as many of you know, when I'm at meetings, I actually do sit at my kitchen table. So I love this last paragraph. And my life has multiplied. The people in it, my sponsees, my incredible friends. My gosh, I've known Stephanie now for over a decade, which is quite unbelievable. And a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to all who come here. So if you are here and you're struggling and this all sounds so hokey, please stay because your miracle is so much closer than you think. And join us, and you will have a vast amount of fun as well. And I look forward to hearing from the rest of you. Thank you, Steph. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan G. from California. God, a decade. Man, I'm old. We're going to go to Diane MC, followed by Hiya P. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning again. This is Diane MC in Chicagoland. Just underneath, there's deadly earnestness, but there's also that seemingly worldliness and levity that we have. I'd like to comment on that. I'm mindful by reading that of a wonderful gift I received by working the steps is that today I don't take myself as seriously. I came in with this facade of perfectionism. Got it all together. Well, that facade is gone. Thanks to fourth, fifth steps, doing a tenth every day. In other words, I've got nothing to hide. So what? You know, I'm just, like they say, just one bozo on the bus today. And what a gift just to take myself more lightly instead of so much on the defense and in a protective mode. So what a gift this has been for me. Of course, it means taking the disease very seriously, never forgetting I am a compulsive reader and remembering that twofold nature of my disease. As long as I keep Dr. Silkworth's admonition to us about this disease in mind and work in the steps, then there is, you know, peace and harmony. And, you know, looking back before OA, I really, outside of compulsive overeating, my life was pretty easy. The complications, the tragedies, the appalling happenings happened afterwards, yet I can still have peace and harmony. I can still be of service to others. What a gift. I'm looking at a picture, a notebook. Well, actually, it's a piece of stationery I have. And it's a picture of Dr. Bob and Annie in their kitchen in Akron. It's an adorable picture. And it just, they have just such a happiness and contentment on their face. And it says on the back, Annie's Kitchen. In the early days, the kitchen was the church of AA. And that's where it began, in someone's home. And what a neat setting to start a fellowship, which is, you know, more relaxed and hopefully more welcoming and warm. And you know, we continue to do that. Just imagine yourself around someone's kitchen right now, spreading the word. So thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Diane MC from Chicago, Illinois. Next, we've got Hiya P, followed by Freya H. Good morning, Hiya.
Good morning, Stephanie. Hi, everybody. My name is Hiya P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, also bulimic and restrictor, recovered today by the grace of this program and a higher power. I want to welcome anyone who's new or coming back, whether you're new to this meeting or new to OA or coming back, or maybe you've been listening to meetings, going to meetings and still struggling. Please, please stay, as was said a little earlier, you know, your miracle is closer than you think, really, truly. You know, I've loved the shares, and this reading is very apropos to a conversation I had with a struggling fellow yesterday, who called me and you know, they couldn't understand why they were, you know, struggling with the food, and we went and looked at what was going on, and they just hadn't actually worked the steps. They had not, you know, they got stuck along the way, didn't continue, and then wondered why they picked up. And then, you know, I always say the medicine is the 12th step. So we have to take all those steps to get to that medicine. And we have to stay in the dosing of 10 and 11, steps 10 and 11 in order to do the 12th step. So then I asked her, you know, where she was at right now. And she said that her sponsor didn't want her going into the book until she had a few days of abstinence. And my understanding and my experience of this is, like, I can't do it by myself. That's why I need these steps. And if that's your way of doing things, that's fine. And my experience from the book is, you know, that we have to take these steps and in order to recover. And that does, you know, sometimes step one means being in the work while you're in the food, and you can't move off of that until we're abstinent, but we learn in that experience. And so why I'm coming to this is I said, she said, well, I like talking to her, you know, and it reminded me when we said, you know, a vast amount of fun, but yet there's this earnestness. It's like, yes, we have a lot of fun, but this is really deadly and serious. And so I can't have just the fun. I can't have just, it's nice to talk to someone. There has to be that earnestness underneath. And, you know, it's that balance, you know, it's that balance. And I just am so grateful because there is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous amount of joy. And the most joy is being able to help another to recover from this insidious, awful, horrible state of being when you're in it. And the most so joyful when I have a message to pass on to someone else, which I hope in some way I've done in my few minutes of sharing. And I'm just so grateful to be a member of this program today. I was not looking for a spiritual experience, trust me. I was just looking. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Hiya P from Colorado. Next, we've got Freya H, followed by Roz G. And Freya, can you please let us know where you're calling from? Good morning.
Good morning, for sure. I'm also in Colorado. My name is Freya H. I am a very grateful compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor. Thanks, everybody, for being here on this meeting with me. And what this brings to mind for me is actually one of the promises, the ninth step promises, that says we don't wish to shut, I'm sorry, we don't regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. And when I heard that promise, I felt really confused and uncomfortable because I thought, wait, isn't that why I'm here? I thought I was here so I could shut the door on the old Freya and like reject her and just become this new person. And that I would never have to deal with all that, you know, all the icky, how I felt about myself. And the reason that comes to mind is because in these paragraphs, we see this model of people like being comfortable with themselves, people actually like laughing at themselves, you know, that idea of like, we don't take ourselves too seriously. And that is, to me, when I see that modeled, I feel like that is the strongest message of recovery, one of the strongest messages of recovery that I can experience. Like when I see people having that comfort in their own skin, I'm like, that is what I want. We talk about, you know, people who have what we want, like, that's what I want. So I can be attracted to the really high-powered, intense, recovery, you know, like whip yourself into shape type message, because I think that's going to fix me and heal me. But there's another layer, which is actually there's a lot more higher power in accepting who I am. And I don't have to be ashamed of who I am, because when I go through these steps, I bring all that stuff out into the light and I give it to my higher power. And, you know, I make amends where I can. I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to be ashamed of. That is such an amazing gift. And and that allows me to just like pull up a chair to that kitchen table and just be with others who are also comfortable being with themselves. So that's a beautiful thing and something worth, something that I want. And the last thing I'll say is that, similar to the previous speaker, I get this message of work really hard, be rigorous, be honest, be thorough, be searching, be fearless. And I think that I always have to be on guard and that I'm always supposed to be like on myself. And then I hear another message, which is relax and take it easy. Don't struggle. And I have a hard time taking both of those messages in. And so it's like, well, how do I incorporate both of those into my life? And I really need to keep asking God, God, what does that mean? How do I maintain that place of being, you know, being rigorously honest, but not then reverting into, you know, self-reliance? And that's something that I just need God for. So it's worth striving for. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Freya H. from Colorado. Next, we've got Roz G, followed by Eileen M. Good morning, Roz.
Well, good morning, Stephanie. I'm Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, and that's in Los Angeles County, in the state of California, which I think I just said. Okay, so when I was early in program, I was listening to an AA speaker on a tape, and he was kind of the comedic type. And he said, yeah, when I first came, my sponsor said, they said to me, take the cotton out of your ears, put it in your mouth, sit down and shut up. And in front of him was a sign that said, we care. And everybody burst out into laughing. And I loved how, you know, I have written in my big book, and as I've heard some of the other people say in the meetings, in this meeting, we take the disease seriously, but we don't take ourselves so seriously. And rule 62, don't take yourself so, you know, darn seriously. So I have learned how to laugh at myself in these meetings, because when I came in, my auntie used to tell me when I was a kid, you shouldn't feel that way. And my mother was so serious about everything. My sister, you know, there was just so much seriousness. And I didn't really, you know how to laugh like I do today. When I was a kid and in middle school, I used to search for laughter through theater arts, through Carol Burnett, through trying to be a comedian, through trying to get the attention that I needed. And I learned through this step work that, as I've heard before, I'm just another human, another ant on the log. We're all together. You know, it reminds me of when we go to conventions, you know, we sit in meetings, there's seriousness, there's learning, and then at night there's a big party and we get to dance together and have a really good time. So I love this way of life. I have a religion that I practice, but man, this is a spiritual way of life. I love to laugh. I love the jovial way. I love the seriousness, and I love to enlarge my spiritual life every day, because it has to work 24 hours a day or else I'll perish. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roz G. from California. Before we go to Eileen M., I'd like to remind you all where we're at. We're on page 16 in Bill's story, that last page, finishing Bill's story today. We began reading the second full paragraph. There is, however, a vast amount of fun through three paragraphs, ending with Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971. So we read that, and that's what we're commenting on today. So So next up is Eileen M., followed by Judy. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., and I am gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And I think this line that says, "My friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself into a widening circle," I think that's a very powerful sentence and, you know, just gives a lot of hope. I looked up the word multiply in the dictionary. It says to increase greatly in number. And, you know, that, well, that just got me to thinking that, you know, not only as a recovered person do I keep growing spiritually, but the fellowship itself is growing significantly. And I don't really see that in my local area, but I'm thinking back to when I started listening to A Vision for You. So this particular meeting, when I started listening actually to the 7 a.m., you know, at that time, there were 4,000 members on the member list, and today, you know, here it is, January 2026, there's either, you know, greater than or equal to 14,000, which is just remarkable. I mean, that's significant growth in 10 years, and it's just amazing to me. And, you know, a few years back, I had a friend who's not in program say to me, you know, "Why on earth do you keep going to those meetings? You know, you've been absent for years. Why do you need to keep going back?" And, you know, I said, "I'm recovered. I'm not cured. You know, every day that I wake up, I have to treat the spiritual malady. And, you know, how do we do that? By living in the steps every day, you know, practicing the principles and the tenets. And, you know, also, I need to hear the message of recovery every day on these meetings. You know, I need to hear various voices that, you know, share experience, strength, and hope." And why do I need to hear that? Is because here's a line that I learned in an AA meeting that I went to. Is someone said, "Pain has a short memory." And wow, is that ever true for addicts? You know, I cannot remember the suffering and humiliation of the last binge. I mean, as it says in the "There is a Solution." You know, and that's why I have to keep coming back. You know, I hear the message over and over. And, you know, I hear it from different people, and, you know, I just need to hear it. And I need to carry the message as well to, you know, people that are suffering. You know, because the big book tells me that is the greatest way to, you know, prevent a relapse, is to keep carrying the message. So I need to live in the steps and carry the message and just have to keep doing it. You know, someone once on this line said years ago, you know, "Wash, rinse, repeat." I just love that. That is so great. So thank you for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Next, we're going to have Judy P. followed by Vanessa G. Good morning, Judy.
Hi, this is Judy N. I'm calling in from France. I'm a compulsive overeater. The part that stood out to me was the faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. And it just reminded me of a lot of other places in the big books, big book, where we have a choice. You know, God either is or isn't. To drink is to die. We can be doomed to an alcoholic death or live on spiritual basis. And also, you know, we have two alternatives: go to the bitter end, blotting out consciousness of our situation, or accept spiritual help. And you know, it is this notion of life or death underneath. And I'm just completing step 12 and getting ready to sponsor, and listening to some of the recordings about, you know, being a good sponsor just reminded me of my own recovery. And, you know, when I came in, all I wanted was to, you know, stop binging. I wanted to get skinny. And I was just like, "I'll do whatever you tell me. Just tell me." And now what I realize, you know, slowly, of course, you know, I want whatever God wants. Like, whatever he has planned for my day, that's what I want now. I don't want to, you know, get in the way of anything that God might have for me or might request of me. And it's not always easy. I mean, but it is an adventure. I see, like, living in the food and in this false sense of somehow comfort is like being on a hamster wheel. You just keep going around and around and think that you're going somewhere, but you're going nowhere. And And what God has in store is a great adventure. And sometimes it's a little scary, takes some courage, but so much, you know, so much of a more interesting life and, you know, infinitely expansive. God has so much more interesting plans for my life than I ever did. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Judy M. I botched that one up, Judy. Sorry about that. Next, we've got Vanessa G, followed by Janice PM. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your service, everyone who makes this meeting possible. My name's Vanessa G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New Mexico. And I guess this morning, I also looked up a word. I think we have it's interesting that, more than one of us has looked up words in this reading. There's so much in this reading, and I really appreciate the shares that I've heard. But, the word that grabbed me this morning is earnestness. And my tongue always trips on that word. I'm not sure why. But I have trouble. It's like a tongue twister to me. And I've heard it over and over again. I've got, several years in another 12-step program, and they read how it works almost every meeting. And earnestness is a word that I hear every time I go to one of those meetings. And so I looked it up this morning, finally, after all these years. Earnestness appears four times in the main 164 pages of Alcoholics Anonymous. It appears in Bill's story, in More About Alcoholism, and in How It Works, and also in Dr. Bob's Nightmare. And earnestness is the quality of sincerity, intense conviction, and serious intent in one's beliefs, actions, and feelings. It implies a passionate and often diligent dedication to a purpose or task. Key aspects of earnestness include sincerity and conviction, dedication and effort, seriousness and gravity, and authenticity. It is characterized by honesty. An earnest person is genuine, honest, and acts without deception. Wow. I wish I had looked it up a lot sooner, but it's definitely something that I aspire to. And hopefully, actually, have received through God's grace some of those characteristics and those aspects. It's such a gift. It's such a gift to be an honest, authentic, or at least be developing into always a more honest and a more authentic person. This disease had taken, it's not hyperbole to say that this disease, this illness, has almost killed me. Several times. And to be released from, this sickness of my mind and body does, give me a joy from, having received that type of freedom. But this earnestness that's underneath that, this honesty and this dedication, gosh, I hope I always keep that and always try to pass it on. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. Took some notes on that definition. And thank you. Perfect timing. All right, next we've got Janice PM, followed by Danielle. Hi, good morning, Janice.
Muted and unmuted. Sorry about that. Wait. Yes, this is Janice.
We got you.
Okay, good. Thank you. Janice PM, and I'm a grateful recovered. Just for today, daily reprieve from compulsive overeating. And I live in Massachusetts, where it's sunny out and snow. This story really means more to me than anything. If we want to tell our story, that's all we have to do, is tell our story from the beginning to the end. Just three parts to a story. And I identify so much with the experiences of Bill when he first started in the beginning. Tell people, tell whoever you'd like. If you have to tell a story, especially in the conference here, in the meetings, of what you were like. Just like when we read this story, I identified with a lot of Bill's feelings, a lot of how he thought, you know, and a lot of the things that I didn't do, but, you know, didn't have to be perfect like Bill. And then he goes through in 16 pages what happened with his life by working on self-interest and desires. And what happened to his family and his wife and his work, you know, just everyday things. Now, what's happened in recovery after he had a spiritual awakening? And it shows us the cups. Anybody in the cups, anybody that was compulsive overeating like me, I mean, I was miserable. I was not a very good person to be with. My relationships, it didn't matter. I just was with my food, so I didn't care about you. You know, but look at the miracle that happens, however. So you come to a vision for you, and you come because you want to lose weight. You know, you think that's the problem. But with Bill, telling us what the solution is. And, you know, I have a little prayer that I say, and it's a prayer of the very first steps that says, and it means so much to me, you know, that we admitted that we were powerless over the effects of our separation from God. I know when you first hear and you say, no, I'm powerless over, sure, I understand that, powerless over food, powerless over shopping, powerless over people, powerless over my husband, Bob, about finances, everything. But the real problem here is spiritual, because, oh yeah, I had a God in my life, but I really didn't do what he told me to do, because I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. And it's not just with food, it's with my life. And that was my big problem until I found the solution that we know here, that Bill has found a power inside of him, and he opened his mind to get this so-called quote-unquote utopia, like I have.
Okay.
Okay. It's like heaven on earth, really. Now, it doesn't say that I'm, you know, I have a perfect life, but I feel so different, and I was always searching for this through the food, et cetera, et cetera. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Janice P.M. from Massachusetts. Next, we have Danielle T. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, my fellows. This is Danielle T. from Colorado, recovered. So grateful to be here today. I just want a belated happy birthday. He died, I did the math, about 55 years ago in a week. So thank you, Bill. Thank you for everything you did for us. Anyway, so many things jumped out at me. The first was, I suppose some would be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity. And I looked both of those up because I was a little confused by that. I thought I knew what it meant, but I wanted to make sure. And worldliness says experienced and sophisticated, more concerned with the material world as opposed to spiritual matters, which surprised me because that is not the case in our program. We've had a lot of experiences, met a lot of different kinds of people. It means worldliness means you understand the way the world works. Levity means humor or frivolity, especially regarding the treatment of a serious matter with humor. And that really reminds me of when I was home for the holidays back in Ohio and I saw my uncle, and he was the one that ironically introduced me to OA and got me to my first OA meeting back in January of 2000. And I thanked him for getting me involved. And I was just so happy. And I was excited I was just so filled with joy at how my life is now and how I feel just comfortable in my skin, as so many of the previous shares have mentioned, just peaceful, content, comfortable in my skin. And I was never that way. But I'm sure he just was so, I could tell by the look on his face, he was so confused that I would be so happy to be in AA or OA. Like, I was just so overjoyed, and he just could not get that. He's like, why would you want to be in that? Like, why? And, you know, and that's the beauty of our program. You know, we have a serious disease. There's a deadly earnestness to all of this, but our joy comes from overcoming the struggle. Our joy comes from helping others. You know, I just wish everybody could have this experience of being a sponsor. It is such a great joy. And I love that. And the other thing I loved was each day my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle. And that just reminds me of our outreach calls. And in the beginning, I hated the outreach calls. I didn't understand. I was just so, I think I was shy. I didn't want to talk to anyone. And as I've let people into my life, as I've built my God squad or my tribe, my circle of friends, it has just become such a joy in my life to talk to three or more people a day with about... Okay, thank you, Stephanie, about, you know, my struggles, my 10 steps, my joys. So anyway, with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Danielle P. from Colorado. Okay, guys, we've got time for one two-minute share. Who would like to
Nancy
share?
L.
Nancy L. L. Go for it.
Two minutes. Here we go. Thank you. Thank you so much, moderator. Welcome, newcomers. This is Nancy in Arizona, recovered by God's grace and mercy, 100-pounder, so grateful for that. For me, I had to look up the word extraordinary, utopia. It was extraordinary, astounding. And for me, I have extraordinary, astounding inner peace today with myself and with others for the most part. I am very, very grateful that because of this book and my faith in my higher power, that I can walk a free woman from the compulsive overeating that had me, its grips around my neck from 5 years old to 55. I was over, going way over 200 pounds, but not today. I've been abstinent for a long, long time. Everything in my closet fits. If I get a phone call and an invitation to go somewhere, I don't have to panic like what I'm going to wear, how will I find it at a store, none of that stuff, because I do have a form of utopia today. I'm very, very grateful, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. from Arizona. All righty. We've got like 30 seconds, so we'll go ahead and give that to newcomers after the recording. So now we're going to close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Vanessa G., can you please read A Vision for You?
I will. Thank you so much. This is Vanessa G. I'm still a compulsive overeater, still recovered in New Mexico. This is our vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some with us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.